You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I'm really excited about this series that we've started on Wednesday nights. This is be our third, I believe this is our third teaching on Wednesday, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. The last two Wednesday nights we taught on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and out of Acts, the second chapter, Acts 10th chapter, Acts 19th chapter, and also Acts chapter 8, and went over, you know, details of that and what the Scripture says. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, I remember when I was born again. I was born again in 1975, May of 1975, and I loved God, and I was a Christian, washed in the blood, going to heaven, turned on to Jesus, loved the Lord, and this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me, ever will happen to anyone, is to be saved. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is power for service. It's not power to be saved. And I'd submit to you, and this is kind of throws everybody off theologically in a lot of commentaries, I don't believe the church was born in Acts 2. I believe they were empowered with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. They were saved before Acts 2. Jesus had already risen from the dead. They believed he's risen from the dead. He didn't tell them, tarry in Jerusalem until they be saved. He said, tarry till you receive power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so you don't see a new birth taking place. You see a supernatural endowment of power that comes upon them. And, you know, I was hungry for the supernatural when I got saved. I loved Jesus. I witnessed everybody. The particular church I went to didn't really preach on those things. In fact, they were actually against those things. They preached, they did talk about them, but they talked about them in a negative sense. And of course, I didn't know, goodness, I didn't know one church from the other. I came out of a heathen background, you know, drugs and jails, and I got saved. I didn't know a Baptist from a Pentecostal, from a Methodist, from a Catholic. I didn't even know where the books of the Bible were. My first Bible had the thumb indexes, you know. And maybe you have one, I'm not being critical, but I had to have one because I didn't know where anything was. And so it was all new to me. And the thing I got hooked on when I first got saved was Mark 16th chapter. Hello. But the church I was going to didn't believe that. Now, God bless that church. They loved God and they got people saved. I was down there every Tuesday night and witnessed. I took a whole block and knocked on every door and witnessed everybody on the block. And I went to every Sunday school and every extra meeting they went to. Brent and I were involved and they were good people. But I was perplexed. I would read this, Mark the 16th chapter, they cast out devils and speak in tongues. And I'd read in Acts 2 where they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And Acts 10, and Acts 19. And man, I was thinking, what in the world is that? And there was a hunger in me for that experience. Well, in 1975, November of 1975, we were going to a Bible study, and we were invited by someone in that Bible study to go to this church called Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, to hear this guy named Kenneth Hagin. And so we went to that meeting, and it's awesome. It was just awesome. He just taught a simple message on faith, and I was right there with him. And he gave the invitation to be saved, and I was going, yeah, praise God, I'm saved. You know, saw some people respond to that, and in fact, several people got saved that night. And then he gave an invitation to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And man, my ears just perked up. I never had heard that. And he talked about tongues, and he talked about Acts 2 and Acts 10, and he says, if you're born again, you're washed in the blood, and you know Jesus, but you hadn't been endued with this power from on high. You haven't spoken other tongues. Then you are a candidate for this experience. And man, I shot up there. I stood up immediately when he gave that invitation, went down there, and was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues, and never been the same since. Amen. I mean, I was changed when I was born again, the greatest experience I ever had. But the next thing that happened to me was I was empowered for service. And I have needed that experience in my life over and over and over in all these years. In fact, that was 1975. That's been a couple years ago. What is that, 30? That's not right. 35 years ago? No. 35 years ago. And I want to talk about tonight some of the benefits of speaking with other tongues. Now, maybe you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you don't speak in other tongues. But you can. You can have this experience. You need to hear this anyway because it's the Word. Amen? Yeah. And there is this problem. I always wondered about this. What do you do with a whole chapter on the gifts and breaking down the tongue issue? And then, of course, you have the gifts mentioned in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You have the operation of the gifts in the 14th chapter. And then, of course, he talks about the gifts in the 13th chapter, that we ought to do those gifts in love. I often hear people talking about an either-or situation in chapter 13. We don't need tongues, we need love. Well, he didn't say that. He said we need tongues with love. We don't need process, we need love. Well, he also said give your body to be burned, and also said give to the poor, and he also said have faith. So we do need faith, and we do need to give to the poor, and we do need to sacrifice. And I'd submit to you, we do need tongues, we do need prophecy, but we need to do them in love. See, love wasn't a thing along with these other things. Love is a way we do all those things. He said, I'll show you a more excellent way. So love is how we do things. That's how we operate in the gifts. That's how we give to the poor. That's how we prophesy. That's how we have our faith. And that's how we sacrifice ourselves, as it were. 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Are you with me? We're going to talk about the benefits of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. I'm going to do my best not to do an exegesis verse by verse on this 14th chapter. Some of this is going to overlap some things I want to teach later, because I'm going to teach on the gifts and the operation of the gifts in the church, but not tonight. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to stake with, just stay with right here, the benefits of speaking with other tongues. You know, one thing, I will have to say this, though. If you're going to understand tongues, you got to realize that there's the gift of tongues, and then there's praying in other tongues or speaking in other tongues when people are baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you don't make that distinction, you can't make sense out of what Paul's saying. Because in one sense, he tells us not to speak in tongues in church unless there's an interpretation. But then he says, wholesale, just go ahead and speak in tongues in private. And he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Are you with me? Which would make no sense if he's talking about the same thing. If it's the gift in every case he's talking about, well, the gift should be accompanied by an interpretation. Paul wasn't addressing speaking in tongues in church. He was addressing tongues that were not interpreted in church. That was the issue, that tongues in a church service, when I'm talking to you and speaking to you, I need to speak by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy. And if I give a tongue, there should be an interpretation to that tongue. But in private, goodness gracious, private worship, private prayer, private adoration, man, I can speak in tongues all night long and all day long. In private, because I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to God. And that's the distinction he's making here. But the gift in a church service is given by the Spirit, and it should be accompanied by an interpretation of a tongue. Now, if that whets your whistle and you're still confused, just keep coming, because I'm going to take a whole service and just teach on operation of the gifts out of 1 Corinthians 14. This is what he's dealing with. In the first verse, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The reason being, because people understand prophecy, they benefit from prophecy, they profit from prophecy. I think it's terrible that some churches don't believe in prophecy. They're non-profit organizations. You got to think about them. But the benefit of prophecy is not there, this inspired, you know, exhortation, because prophecy encourages, edifies, and exhorts according to Scripture, and we need encouragement, edification, and exhortation. It's not preaching. Prophecy is not preaching. I mean, goodness gracious, you can preach, 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 but that's not inspired prophecy, a word of prophecy that comes and goes. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue, second verse, does not speak to men, everybody say to men, but to God. Everybody say to God. Think about it. To men, to God. He's talking about private and public. He's talking about the direction of what this thing's. See, if I got up here and just spoke in tongues, which I could speak in tongues for another 30 minutes. And you know what? I'd be edified and I'd be charged up and I'd be talking to God and you wouldn't get a thing. Are you with me? Is there something wrong with tongues? No, it just wasn't the proper place for me to speak in tongues unless there was a gift of tongues with interpretation of tongues. Here he says this. He says, but he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. Howbeit, or however, I'm quoting King James and reading New King James. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Everybody say, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Scripturally, to pray in the Spirit is to pray in other tongues, according to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. I know we've tried to find praying in the Spirit just getting real serious, you know, or feel a presence. I really was in the Spirit. But scripturally speaking, when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying in other tongues. Because it says here, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And it also says in the 14th verse, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. So speaking in tongues is not something you can understand. In Acts, the second chapter, they spoke in tongues that wasn't understood. What they heard was their own languages, but they didn't distinguish their languages in 120 people speaking at one time. You've got to be kidding. Supernaturally, they heard their own language. And then in Acts, the 10th chapter, nobody understood any languages. Acts 19th chapter, nobody understood any languages, but they all spoke with other tongues. Now, we've gone over that, of course, the last 2 weeks. So if you're in on this Bible study and this teaching, you're missing out on some foundational truths we've already established here. When he's talking about speaking in tongues without an interpretation, speaking in tongues to God, he's talking about praying in other languages or unknown languages, unknown to you. I guess God supernaturally could give you one that someone could understand. But we don't see a case of that in the Bible. There was this wholesale Parthians and Greeks and Medes and people that came in Acts 2 that understood the praises of God in their own languages. But I don't think they distinguished that out of 120 people talking. Supernaturally, God just gave them revelation. The miracle was actually on the hearers. I mean, if 120 people stood up and started speaking in tongues, could you pick your language out? I think that'd be pretty hard to do. There'd be just noise, and they thought they were drunk. And Peter got up and said, "These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's the third hour of the day. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters prophesy, your young men dream dreams." I'm still dreaming dreams. Yeah, think about that one. Your old men dream dreams, I think that's what it says. Young men prophesy, old men dream dreams. My brother on my 50th birthday sent me a card that says, "Had any good dreams lately?" I know what he was referring to. But it says here, "He that speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." That's awesome. I'm not going to preach on that. "He who speaks in a tongue," fourth verse, "edifies, encourages, builds up himself, but he who prophesies edifies, encourages, builds up the church." Now see, what he's addressing here is the proper place and time. He's not talking about, oh, tongues are bad. Tongues are great to edify yourself. They're great to talk to God with. They're great to pray with. They have benefit. There are benefits to praying in other tongues. But in the church, if a tongue's given, there better be an interpretation. It needs to be the gift of tongues with an interpretation. Because what's in question is profitability. What's in question here is who profits from this. You know, I'm standing up here. This is not the time for me to just get up here and speak in tongues. Unless I were to give an interpretation. Why? Because you're here to profit from the anointing, from the Spirit, from what God is doing. So there are times that someone will give a tongue, and then there's an interpretation given. That's proper in church. And here he says, otherwise, fourth verse, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church." The word edify just okidomeo, I think. Okidomeo is a Greek word. Okidomo, we get the word dome from it. It means to build a house. In fact, it's translated build or buildeth in many cases in the New Testament. When you read building a house or build up, build, it comes from that same Greek word. So to edify is to build up, to charge up. So one of the benefits of speaking in tongues is that it edifies yourself. It builds you up. Can you see the place of that? I mean, that's great for personal edification, personal being built up. I can think of countless times where I needed to pray in tongues to get built back up. Notice, hold your place here. Well, let's see. Turn over to Jude. Turn with me to Jude. Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Jude made it good, incidentally. Jude, the 20th verse. Notice what it says here, Jude 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up," that's that same, think about okidomeo, it's a form of that same word, "building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," or praying in the Holy Spirit. Now let's establish this, praying in the Holy Spirit. What in the world does that mean? Well, if you turn back over first, don't turn there, we just read it. 1 Corinthians 14, in the 14th verse, "He that prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prayeth." You mean there's praying not in the Spirit, and there's praying In the Spirit. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can pray in English, my known language. Paul could have prayed in Aramaic or Hebrew. He could have prayed in Greek. But then when he prayed in tongues, his spirit prayed. His understanding was unfruitful when he prayed in the Spirit. But nonetheless, it was still building and charging him up. It was edifying him. I remember one time I was in India, 1980. Actually, I'd gone to India twice that year. I went over there and preached for 3 weeks in southern India. And I preached like 28 times in 14 days. I preached in villages. I preached on mountains, across rivers, and went up in the jungles. It's really a jungle area, tropical region in southern India. Preached to Hindus and just had a big time. I was a young buck and just on fire for God like I am now. And I got so stirred up, I went back again. I went back in 1980 in the fall of that year. I went back and I stayed 6 weeks. And I went with a guy. He left early. In fact, I was there another week or so after he left. And the last week I was in Bombay, India, in a real, real rough part of town. In fact, it was the middle of Hindu festivity. It was Hindu festivity week. And so they were just partying all day and all night and firecrackers and noise and, you know, and just you could feel the demonic oppression. You could literally, I've never in my life been in a place where I could just, you could feel demonic oppression on that city. And the only way I could get through that was I prayed an hour in tongues every morning when I'd get up. And I'd pray an hour in tongues every night before I go to bed. Just to keep on top of it. Just to get that oppression off me. And I noticed when I prayed like that, it would lift. It would just, I would build myself up on my most holy faith. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You say, well, we shouldn't be concerned about ourselves. We ought to edify others. Yes, there's a place to edify others. In fact, that's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 14. In a church service, that's the place to edify others. But now outside the church service, in your homes, you're supposed to be praying in other tongues to keep yourself charged up.
That's right.
But if I'm addressing someone and talking to someone, then I need to be thinking about their edification, their profit, and as good as tongues is, no man understands it. And even if I were to bless with the Spirit or in tongues, I do well, but the other one does not profit from it. You couldn't say amen at the setting of the table. Instead of just saying, you know, God's good, God's great, and Lord, you're sweet, and bless this food and bless this meat. You could say amen to that. But if I just opened up and just started speaking in tongues and stopped, how can someone say amen, and Paul addresses that, when they don't understand the tongues that you spoke? And he says, you gave thanks well. I think that's interesting. He didn't say, he didn't do one bit of good. No, he says, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified, built up, charged up.
Yeah.
So speaking in tongues does charge and build us up. It keeps us in our most holy faith. I tell you what, it kept my faith strong. I prayed in English as best I could, and then I would pray in the Spirit, and it just charged me up. I had to do that every morning, and I had to do that every night. I was preaching every night in Bombay. I was staying in some apartments with some Indian people. There's a lot of Indian people in India. In fact, I remember going to the train station. You couldn't even see. There were no white people. None. I went to places I hadn't seen white people in the jungles in southern India. I mean, I was up in the mountains, and I was an oddity because my hair was a little like an afro back then. It was natural. My hair was curly and natural and stuck out, and it was real blonde. And man, I was blonde hair and blue-eyed. I could draw a crowd and preach in a heartbeat. Because if I go in a village, those kids, they just run up and the village would come out and I'd start preaching to them. But I remember the oppression of that place. The place I was staying in was kind of a slum area. In fact, the taxi wouldn't even go in there. They let us out way away. We had to walk a couple blocks into the place. Of course, I wouldn't do that now, but I got thinking back on it. It must have been a pretty bad place. The taxi wouldn't drive that far in. So I had it wait on me the whole time. You know, I just had to pray and pray and pray. And the way I prayed through that was to pray in the Holy Ghost. I built myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Strength would come. It'd come in the morning when I'd get up so I could make it through the day. It'd come at night so I could go to bed at night. I was preaching one time in Bombay, and this guy was demon possessed and cried out in the service and writhed around like a snake on the floor right in the middle of my preaching. And I thought, I'm not going to let this guy mess up my service, so I just cast the devil out of him. And as I cast the devil out of him, he started talking to me in English. East Texas English. Hello. He was in India. I was in India. I was in Bombay. I remember grabbing his hands and jumping on top of him because everybody's kind of crowding around and they were pulling his hair. I don't know I thought they were going to beat the devil out of him. I think that they thought they could do that. And so I really was clearing everybody away from him, and I grabbed his hands and got on him, and his eyes were just glazed over, man. He looked me right in the face and just started saying, "Ah, I'm not coming out," talking to me in English. Just demonic. Of course, the Holy Ghost just rose up in me, and I cast. He tried to tell me some things I wasn't interested. Don't devils lie? That's what they do. The Bible says, "In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." Are you with me? And so you can't listen to what devils say, because you could write a book on what they tell you. They tell you they've been in there several generations, got into his great-great-grandma, but you don't know if it's the truth. In fact, it's probably a lie anyway. Devils lie. That's what they do. The Bible says, "Cast devils out, and say my name, they shall talk to devils." So I remember casting that devil out. Boy, that was a wild week in Bombay. But I kept myself stirred up by praying in the Holy Ghost. I kept myself stirred by praying in other tongues. Sure, I prayed every scripture I knew, and I prayed the promises, and I stood in faith, and then I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I prayed in other tongues. Notice what it goes on to say here too. "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Another thing, a second thing praying in other tongues will do for you, it will keep you in the love of God. When you have a tendency, a proclivity, a propensity, or a bent to not forgive, to hold grudges, to take revenge, praying in the Holy Ghost will keep you in the love of God. I can remember one person in particular came against Brent and I and our family in a terrible way early on in our ministry, and it affected us dramatically. I mean, I can't give you all the details, but it was not a good situation, very bad situation. We didn't do anything but address someone's sin, try to work with them, and I mean, oh my goodness, came out against us with a vengeance, detrimental to our family. I had to really believe God and stand in faith just to protect my family and to supply the needs of my family and so on and so forth. But the main thing I had to do was forgive that person. And that was not an easy thing to do. Because when it comes to your family, you know, you're the breadwinner, it's your wife and your children. And I had to get on my knees and forgive that person. And I had the most trouble saying that, even bringing it to my lips. And I'm pastoring. I am a pastor. I have to forgive, okay? You're a Christian. You have to forgive. But I sure can't afford that luxury of holding vengeance to get someone stand up in a pulpit and be nice and preach. And I remember just barely getting it out, just shaking my lips, forgive him. You know, at St. Augustine, it says, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him lest there be two bad men. Yeah. You didn't do anything, but if you don't forgive, you're fixing to do something. Yeah. You're fixing to get in sin. You're fixing to get bitter, and you're going to enter into another man's sin. Yeah. It's not even your sin. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take it, and along with it, the consequences of it. So I'd begin to say, God, forgive him, and it wasn't there. I'm telling you, it wasn't there. I was saying it, but it wasn't there. So for 30 days, I never will forget, it took me 30 days. I prayed in tongues for an hour, for 30 days, for this person. Prayed in tongues. And I would say, God, forgive them. God, forgive them. And then I'd got to, after a while, God, don't lay this sin to their charge. Don't lay this sin to their charge. And then I got to where God bless them and restore them in the name of Jesus. And it took me a solid month, but that thing left me. It left me. And I know to this day, I can stand here and tell you that it was praying in other tongues that kept me in the love of God. There's no question in my mind, because I couldn't do it in the natural. I tried. I said the words. It just wasn't there. God restored that man. Restored that whole relationship years later. But I got set free in 30 days. I could think of that person. That person's name would come up. Nothing in me at all. It was all gone. Nothing but love. God kept me in the love of God. That's what he's saying here in this 20th verse. He says, "But you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." Man, it guards you, it keeps you, it causes you to stay in love. That's one of the challenges of Christianity, to stay in love. You know that? Because people are not always nice. You're not always nice. You know, you have to watch yourself and stay in love. And this is a benefit. What God has done with the Holy Ghost is called him alongside to help us. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not about, you know, becoming a Christian. It has nothing to do with becoming a Christian. Everybody that's a Christian's had an experience with the Holy Spirit. We've all had that. We all have the Holy Ghost. Stay with me. But we're not all baptized with the Holy Spirit. Right. Not all filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are times you're going to need that extra help, that extra ump, that charging up, that ability to stay in love. Hallelujah. Keeps you out of a lot of trouble. I know in my own personal life, I can testify the things that I'm saying tonight from the Scripture. I can testify I have gone through them. I have seen them work. Not that my experience, you can't make a doctrine out of my experience, but you can sure make it out of this Word. Amen? And since the doctrine is true, there should be testimonies to the fact. If these principles are right, since they are right, there should be example to the precept. And so thank God there are testimonies, there are examples to these precepts. In fact, I think of the next point I was going to make here about praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit brings revelation. I firmly believe that. I owe more to praying in the Holy Ghost as far as my understanding of the Bible than any other thing I've done. And I read a lot of books. I read all the time. I study all the time. But I get stumped. And many times I'll just pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues and pray in tongues, and it'll start coming alive to me. Revelation comes from praying in the Holy Ghost. Many times I'll study something, there's just something just bumping inside. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know what God's trying to tell me something, but I haven't quite got it. I'm looking, I'm asking Him to reveal, and I'll start praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And it will start to come alive because it is the doorway into the supernatural. And the revealer of the Scripture is the Spirit. Amen. He is the Spirit of truth. And the main job of the Holy Spirit is to show us and reveal to us the things that God has freely given to us. See, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared to them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, except or but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Woo! Amen. Are you with me? So He reveals things to us. In fact, back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. No, sir, Paul, this is an amazing thing Paul says here. After he makes his case about the proper use of tongues, private prayer language, as a result of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the gift of tongues in service with an interpretation. And bear in mind, I'm going to teach on that in detail later. He says an amazing thing here in the 18th verse, just so everybody understands this. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. We often hear in some commentaries you read, they'll say, you know, the church at Corinth just had a tongue problem. I mean, they just spoke in tongues just constantly. Actually, the problem at Corinth was not a problem of tongues. The problem they had was disunity. If you go through the Scripture, you know, they were showboating, they were segmenting themselves. One said he's of Paul, one of Apollos, one of Christ, and they were divided. And then he talked about unity over and over. They had a problem with disunity. And so they were coming to church. The problem with the tongue thing was the problem with uninterpreted tongues in the service. Paul wasn't addressing an issue or a problem with tongues. He was addressing an issue of order and an issue of uninterpreted tongues. There should be a gift of tongues with an interpretation, not just speaking in tongues or praying in tongues in the general service. And he falls back and he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Think about the company that we're in. 120 on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke in tongues. Cornelius' house, they all spoke in tongues. The disciples of John, they all spoke in tongues. I'd submit to you in Acts 8, they spoke in tongues too, and we've proven that, went over that the last couple of weeks. So Paul spoke in tongues, the Blessed Virgin Mary spoke in tongues, Peter, James, John, all the apostles, the New Testament writers spoke in tongues. I think we're in good company speaking in tongues. Hello. It must have done some good. Must have helped them somehow. Because they talked about it. Paul devotes a lot of time here discussing the issue. And he thanks God. He doesn't just say, I speak in tongues more than y'all. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Obviously that is probably a little exaggerated. He probably wasn't saying he spoke in tongues more than everybody in the whole church, but he's saying any one of you. I personally speak in tongues more than any one of you. I speak in tongues all the time. Yet, in the church, the next verse he says, I'd rather speak 10,000 words, or 5 words. Let me back up. Yet, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words of my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Let's take that apart a minute. I talked about revelation coming, flowing, when you speak in other tongues. Notice what he says here. He said, in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I might teach others also. Others also. Why would he say also? Teach others also. Because when I'm praying in tongues, I'm getting taught. Revelation's coming to me. But it's not coming to the one that's just hearing me speak in tongues. I'm not teaching others. I'm being taught, but not others also. No, I don't think you got it. Back up. The whole point of this 14th chapter is profiting others, profiting yourself. Personal, public. Speaking of other tongues, personally, does bring revelation. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also. Than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Woo! So revelation comes. I edify myself. I keep myself in the love of God. And revelation comes when I pray in tongues. What I owe to praying in tongues as far as revelation is concerned is just amazing. In fact, speaking of revelation, do you know the book of Revelation I read for years before I ever taught it? I mean, I've read the book of Revelations 30 times in 30 days, countless times. Take a month and just read the whole book every day for 30 days. 30 times in 30 days. I've done that many times and studied it, but I wouldn't teach it till I felt comfortable with it. And the way I got comfortable with it is I'd pray an hour in tongues before I'd read it. And I'd study it. I'd get in there and study it. And I'd pray in tongues. I'd pray in tongues and pray in tongues. And then I'd go study it. And I'd pray in tongues and I'd go study it. Now see, a lot of this stuff goes on. I don't talk about it. I mean, you don't hear me talking about a lot of these things, but I'm teaching on tongues, so I'm being transparent for you and laying some things out. I don't want you to think I'm bragging because I'm not. And you know that if you've been coming to this church, because it's not something I taught. Some of you probably never knew that. I mean, I've said things tonight you probably did not know about my personal private life. Because it's between me and God. Tongues is between me and the Lord. But I'm instructing you and trying to give you some insight that you need to pray in other tongues. It helps you. I couldn't tell you how much it means to me. I couldn't tell you how much it's meant to me. How much it's people talk about revelation. They talk about how, I flow with teaching and how I get insight and so on and so forth. Well, it's a gift. That's God. But I'll tell you this, it comes from getting in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And then reading the Scripture and taking it just like it says. Open the book like it was just written. Instead of dating a thing and putting it 2,000 years ago. God's not a 2,000 year ago God. God's a now God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the great I am, not the great I'm going to be or I was. And He's the Lord God. He changes not. And whatever He did 2,000 years ago, He still does today. And whatever He said here is still pertinent today. I still need to live this thing for me and my family. Are you with me? I need to preach this. I need insight into this. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the people that wrote this were filled with the Holy Spirit. In the early church, I'm telling you, they came out in power. Jesus told them to wait until they were in power with the Spirit. So you've got a charging up that takes place, building up of yourself and your most holy faith. You have an ability to keep yourself in the love of God. Thank God for this help. Man, we'd be in trouble without it. Are you with me? And you got this ability to get revelation. Goodness. Turn over to Romans 8. I'm conscious of the time here, and I want to finish this message up. And it's not going to happen. I'm just going to have to quit it. Is this helping you? I hope it's wetting your whistle. I hope you're getting hungry for it if you hadn't had this experience. And I hope you know that God wants you to have it. Romans the 8th chapter. Notice this in the 26th verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or weaknesses. That's what that means, our weaknesses, our inabilities. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I think that's fascinating, because I do know a lot of things to pray for. I think it's interesting that he says that. And it's interesting he doesn't say, we don't know how to pray. I like that too, because we do know how to pray. But sometimes I don't know exactly what to pray. I know some things to pray, but especially when I'm praying for other people, I don't know all the details. Sometimes when I'm praying for myself, I don't know all the details. So I don't always know what to pray. Thank God I know how. But I don't always know what to pray. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is interesting because this word groanings in the Greek, this word uttered in the Greek, is not used anywhere else in the Bible. It's interesting that it's talking about, I believe, and I read a definition of this, makes sense, that it's groanings in words that cannot be articulated. In other words, unknown speech that you don't understand. I think that flows with the fact that when you're speaking in tongues, no man understands it. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Are you with me? When a man prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prayeth. 14th verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But his understanding is unfruitful. One great thing about praying in other tongues is that it bypasses your mind. Now, some people think that's a little insane, but I think that's a good thing. Because once I've done all I can in the natural with what I know about the Scripture, I can pray in tongues and it's none of me in it. No bad motive there, no wrong motive, no maybe misapplied Scripture when I'm praying in tongues. My mind, my understanding is unfruitful in that sense. I'm saying something out of my spirit. It is my spirit praying. It's the Holy Spirit praying through me. And he makes intercessions for me with groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. In other words, I can't articulate what I am praying in other tongues. I don't know what I'm praying in other tongues. My understanding is completely unfruitful in that respect. And that's a good thing. Because if I pray how I know to pray, and pray what I know to pray, and then pray in the Holy Ghost, that'll cover everything that I might have missed. That'll cover things that I didn't know about. And I am responsible for praying what I do know to pray. Right. Him that knoweth do good and doeth not, it is sin. Praying in other tongues does not replace praying in a known language. It undergirds it. Are you with me? Comes alongside to help. But it doesn't take the place of it. I've heard people say, well, I don't pray in English anymore, I just pray in tongues. Well, you're wrong to do that because you're responsible for praying what you know. You're responsible for doing everything you know, but what about what you don't know? So not only do we get charged up by praying in other tongues, not only do we keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in other tongues, not only does revelation come, we're not just teaching others, but we're teaching ourselves. We're praying in other tongues. But we're praying the perfect will of God. We're interceding and praying right out of our spirit straight to God. Oh, I wish I had insight into what I was praying in other tongues. But I guess if I understood it, it wouldn't be tongues. Would it? I mean, people often say, well, why are you praying in tongues? You can't understand it. Well, if I could understand it, it wouldn't be tongues. That's right. I think of Jude 20 in one sense where it says, build yourself up in most holy faith. You know, it takes faith to pray in tongues. Because you can think of a lot of things you could be doing than just praying in other tongues. A lot of times it feels like you feel like you're wasting your time. You could be doing this and you're just, you know, just going over and over and over and over and over and over in tongues. But you know what? It takes faith to pray in tongues. God said it works. He said it benefits us. He said there are benefits from praying in other tongues, and we need to do it. When in the world do you think Paul prayed more in tongues than the people of the church of Corinth? Obviously, in his own personal prayer life. Not the gift. Often people will say that. You hear people say, well, I believe in tongues, but I don't believe I have that gift. Well, now you're talking about ministry gift in the church. But now as far as the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues, they all spoke in tongues in Acts 2. The 120 came out on the day of Pentecost. It didn't say some spoke in tongues, some had a word of knowledge, one had a gift of discerning the spirits. One had a gift of faith. One had gifts of healing. One had a gift of interpretation. It says they all spoke in tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. In Acts 10, in Cornelius' house, they all spoke with other tongues. It didn't say one had the gift of the word of knowledge. One had the gift of discerning spirits. One had the gift of the word of wisdom. One had the gift of healing. One had the gift of faith. One had the gift of discerning spirits. You know, it just says they all spoke in tongues. In Acts 19, it didn't say to one was given the word of wisdom, to one was given the word of knowledge, to one given the word. Are you with me? The gifts are divided severally as the Spirit wills. Excuse me. But praying in other tongues, or the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, they all spoke with tongues. That wasn't the gift of tongues. That was their spirit being released to pray in other tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit. And did you know that it was a sign? And it is a sign today that we are believers. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved, but it is a sign that you are. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. You don't have to cast out devils, but it's a sign you are saved. They shall speak with new tongues. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved, but it's a sign that you are saved. They take up serpents, and obviously that's the power of the devil. If they drink any deadly... Everybody say if. Yeah. I love that. It didn't say they shall, they shall. It didn't say go out and drink poison like they do up in the hills of Tennessee. Handle rattlesnakes and drink poison. Now, that's just terribly out of context. But it is a promise that you would be delivered from being poisoned if you drank any deadly thing. Shall not hurt you. They shall lay hands... It goes back to shall now. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You don't have to lay hands on sick people to be saved, but it's a sign that you're saved. Man, I want all the signs I can get. How about you? And tongues is a sign. Hallelujah. Okay, let me wrap this up. Four things I think we've said here that are benefits. Okay, I talked of a lot of reasons why, but just actual benefits. Benefits of speaking other tongues would be that it builds us up. Anybody need to be charged up? Well, speaking in tongues will do that. It keeps you in the love of God. You ever been there where you need a little more help, a little umph? You tried, but you have no umph, so you're not triumphing? Okay. I just thought it was cute. You might want to write it down. It'll help you. It'll help you stay in the love of God, number two. Number three, it'll cause revelation to come. It'll bring revelation. You're being taught while you're praying in another tongue. You may not know it, may not realize it, but you just keep praying in tongues. Things start coming alive. Scriptures will start coming alive. Things that you're just not quite getting. I don't quite get that. Well, I tell you what, why don't you pray in the Holy Ghost and then go study it again? And pray in the Holy Ghost and go study it again. I found in my life that this works. I would not be here today. I would not be pastoring today. I would not know what I know today. I would not be the teacher I am today if it weren't for praying in the Holy Ghost. I can say that personally. That's my personal testimony to back up what Scripture says. And fourthly, it gives you the ability to pray the perfect will of God. Do your best with what you know, then pray in the Holy Ghost. And it starts covering a lot of bases that you wouldn't have thought of. The Holy Ghost comes alongside to help you. He intercedes. When you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. So, I mean, that enough would challenge me. I mean, that'd make me want it. Man, and over the last 35 years, is that what I said? 35 years, it's made a big difference in my life. There's nothing greater than being saved. Never, you can't make those comparisons. There's nothing greater than being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and going to heaven. That's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. But the Holy Spirit, and being baptized with the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues, is for service. It's to help you serve. It's power to serve. Hallelujah.